You're a senior, right, Daniel?
Yeah, I'm a senior.
So then you must be applying for colleges right now, right?
Yeah, I'm kind of in the middle of applying for colleges.
Well, where are you applying?
Well, there's a few different schools. I'm applying to the UW, like everyone around here seems to apply there.
What's your top choice? Don't forget your backup schools, please.
Yeah, well, top choice, I don't know. I don't really have a top choice. I mean, there's a couple schools that I guess are pushed sort of towards the top. I kind of go back and forth between top choice.
Did you get all your applications in? It's got to be nearing crunch time.
Yeah, I still have a bunch to do. I finished like 3 of them, but yeah, I still have some more to do.
Well, what about your career path after college? What are you thinking about pursuing?
Yeah, I haven't even picked my major for undergrads yet. So grad school, yeah, I don't know. That's still like far away. Thinking about that. Not even on the radar.
Are you sure that the programs are the majors that you might be interested in or even offered at the schools that you're applying to? Have you done that kind of research?
No, not really. I mean, you know, I checked out the school's website and all that stuff, and they have their little, like, booklet thing that I looked through a little bit.
Good afternoon, KUOW.
You're listening to Radioactive.
I'll buzz you in.
Hello there to all our Radioactive listeners. This is Daniel Metz.
And I'm Bryce Ellis. I'm a junior at the University of Washington.
I'm a senior at Roosevelt High School. Today you're listening to Radioactive's December podcast. Happy to have you with us. Radioactive is a youth-produced show that gives a youth perspective on a variety of issues. Subscribe to our podcast at kuow.org/radioactive.
I just wanted to start off by saying sorry, Daniel. Things got a little excited back there talking about your plans for college.
It's cool, Bryce. In all honesty, I'm used to it at this point. It seems like right now everyone wants to interrogate me about my future plans, or shower me in unsolicited advice.
It feels like we're subjected to this crushing amount of unsolicited advice. Like, teenagers, and young adults in general, are easily the number one target audience for unsolicited advisors. It just doesn't stop.
Yeah, college this, future that, major here. I mean, I appreciate the thought and everything, but I mean, it gets to the point where all the advice can be a burden. It makes me even more worried than I would be otherwise. I've got to make plans for the future, but I mean, I also just want to be in the present, have some fun, you know? Like, not always be worrying about college.
Of course, we're not talking bad about the overeager adults in our lives, just bursting with questions. Or the teenagers that have everything planned out, right? Planning things out can be really helpful, even if your plans are a little stressful at times.
Yeah, totally. Radioactive's Evan Adams is a junior at Garfield High School. He knows what it's like to have some stressful plans. Evan is stressing about taking the SAT, and he knows he's not alone. Every junior in high school has heard of the SAT, and when they hear those three letters, they may think, holy crap. But for Evan, the SAT is particularly worrisome. He struggles taking tests. He wants to get into the college of his dreams, but his dream college requires high SAT scores.
Massachusetts Institute of Technology is my dream school. I want to get into this school more than any other kid in the world. I heard the SATs were the most important part of the application process. If you don't get a high enough score on them, then you can kiss your college career goodbye. But there's just one problem. I'm not a good test taker. Right now, during school, I get okay grades. I'm working to get them all A's. I've pretty much failed every major test since the beginning of sixth grade, despite the countless hours I've spent studying for the test. At my high school, they have a mandatory practice SAT that every junior must take.
This section contains two types of math questions. Questions 21 to 28 are multiple choice, just like usual.
It's a 3-hour test. The whole time I'm taking the test, I'm hoping to God that I put down the right answers. The PSET is important to me. It determines if I can get a National Merit Scholarship. When I'm taking the test, it's pure silence. That's where I start to freak out a little bit. Whenever I'm sitting down for long periods of time, I start to get really anxious, and that makes it hard for me to take the test. One of my plans to prepare for the SAT is to get help from a tutoring program and get books to study with. Some of my friends are also worried about taking the SAT, like Alexander Ivanov. He thinks it is necessary for colleges to put the SATs on an application.
I think it's good to have a standardized test that every kid in the nation would take, because school performances are so variable that someone could have like a very easy school that they're very good at versus someone else who has like very hard school or something. Like, for example, like some schools have much more rigorous education and like average SAT scores from there are a lot higher than average SAT scores from another school. And so I feel like the SAT kind of provides a standard measure for each student outside of their grades.
I contacted MIT because I wanted to hear what they said about my situation. I wanted to see if it was still a possibility for me to go there, even though I was a bad test taker. I talked to Matt McGann. He's the director of admissions at MIT, and he said,
"We know that students have different strengths, and sometimes it may be in taking exams. Other times their academic strengths may come out other places. And that's why we really want to take a holistic look at the application, that we want to consider all parts of a student's academic preparation and their college readiness. So standardized tests like the SAT or ACT, that can be one part of it. But we really want to see also, how you've done in high school. And actually, having taken challenging courses and getting good grades in high school, that's going to be the most important part of our process.
I also learned that they just don't look at your school performance. They look at your behavior outside of school, too. Now I feel more at ease because I feel like a 1,000-pound brick just got lifted off my shoulders, and I can breathe a lot easier. For Radioactive, I'm Evan Adams.
Yeah, I totally get where Evan is coming from. The pressure to get good scores on the SAT is overwhelming. Before I took it, my parents would just stare at me stone-faced and say, "You have to do well on this test. This is your future." It felt like they were saying, "We don't necessarily love you if you don't do well."
Honestly, Daniel, I can't really relate to either you or Evan. I was sloughing in high school, not really on top of my academics. I still remember, I basically found out I was taking the SAT the night before the test.
Fresh. Ill. Sick. Dope.
Mobbing.
YOLO.
Bomb.
Swag.
Sketchy.
Slang of the month.
Our slang term of the month is sloughing.
Sloughing. S-L-U-F-F-I-N, is to procrastinate or be generally ineffective at respecting time commitments.
To use it in a sentence, she was sloughing while attempting to finish her college apps.
You know, now that you mentioned college apps again, I think it's a good time to point out that not everyone even applies to your traditional college. A lot of kids are looking to do creative or different things with their lives. Not sloughing by any means. Just taking a different approach to things, rather than the traditional four-year college route.
Yeah, I know what you mean. I bet it can be super awkward for them when they get asked all the endless questions about college.
Oh yeah, definitely. Radioactive's Katie and Van Loo had the opportunity to sit down with someone who didn't take this traditional four-year college route. She dropped out of high school and has since had a successful career. Laura Kelly is a local hip-hop artist and poet, as well as a performer and educator. She goes by Peace. She strives to encourage individualism and self-expression in her students and audiences. Over the years, Peace has had the opportunity to work with household names like T.I., KRS-One, and Drake. Katie and Van Loo has more.
In case you didn't know, there's a lot of up-and-coming rappers out there. A lot, including myself. The problem with having so many up-and-comers is that a lot of them try to copy what they see and hear on TV because they know that works as far as success goes. I know of a lot of aspiring and professional rappers who are exactly like this, except for a few. This is Laura Kelly, aka Peace. She's a local rapper, producer, spoken word poet, and an educator.
I think that the need for emotional awareness and acceptance amongst my peers developed early because it seemed as though the options growing up as an inner city young person were either resort to some sort of gang violence or religious practice or an art form or a sport.
Peace grew up in the Central District in the 80s, and life was hard for her having to deal with ducking gunshots on the streets, sleeping on the floor, and not having enough to eat. But music and poetry has always been a positive influence on her. She had two older brothers that were rappers, her grandmother was a jazz pianist, and since she was young, she's been participating in freestyle rap sessions or cipher building on the street.
As early as I can remember, I've been moved by music, but I feel that my passion and the urgency grew when I hit adolescence and I realized that the music and the rap and the poetry, it gained me acceptance. It gained me, it gave me a space to share my personal experiences with my peers and feel like they heard me and they weren't judging me. It was a safe place.
Peace works with youth all over the Seattle area in community centers and schools. She helps guide students in their music making and encourages them to use their music and their poems as an outlet for their lives like she did. Peace says back in the day when kids on the streets would go out and start freestyle rapping in, say, Pilot Place Market, it forced them to hone their craft and actually become as creative as possible to stand out. But now, with the addition of things like MySpace, YouTube, Facebook, Bandcamp, and DatPiff, you see less and less aspiring artists going out and actually honing their craft on the street. Peace describes it as losing sight of that foot to the pavement.
So that's what's interesting. As I underwent my own growth in adolescence and used poetry and spoken word, hip-hop rap and music production as my lens and vessel to, you know, translate my experiences, I learned that there were other people hungry for that same craft.
Peace says, hip-hop is a youth-born, youth-sustained culture that influences the global industries of entertainment that move this planet. Because youth are also influenced by it, it's become sort of a cycle of the same imprint of music that we see in mainstream media today. But with Peace, and people like her, aspiring rappers, singers, producers, and poets all have a chance to develop their own style and creativity as artists. Radioactive, I'm Katie and Van Loon.
I wonder what Peace was feeling like as a teenager with her eyes set on an artistic career. There's a lot on the line for those that break the norms with the plans they make.
Yeah, like high school student Deep Illegal. She has plans for her future that center around her dancing. She just danced the part of the Sugar Plum Fairy in Cornish's junior production of The Nutcracker. This is the second year in a row that she has had the part. But Deepa swapped out the standard pink ballet tights for her own cocoa-colored tights. Radioactive's Claire Martin found out why.
When you are in a room at an audition with 60 to 70 other dancers, you need to find something that makes you stand out.
Deepa Legal started dancing ballet when she was 7, but it took her until recently to take her own advice. Deepa remembers the first time her ballet teacher suggested she wear different colored ballet tights. It was freshman year. The day was gray and cloudy. Deepa's teacher, Paula Peters, said that skin-colored tights would extend the line of her leg, and they'd help her stand out. Ballet dancers wear tights to make their legs look longer. Typically, these tights are light pink, because traditionally, most ballerinas were light-skinned. But Deepa is Indian American. White-pink tights don't match her skin color. Deepa told Paula no. At 15, she was trying to strike a balance between fitting in and making her mark.
At first, I was like, no way. Like, I just want to fit in with this older group of dancers because I was a freshman. Everyone else was a junior or senior. And I had this preconceived notion of sort of like ballet, pink tights, pink tutus, pink shoes. And so I was like, no, like, you can't do that. That's not what ballet is.
But the following year, Deep was more exposed to dance companies that feature dancers of color, like the Dance Theater of Harlem. She was also more confident in her dancing abilities.
And I think during that year, I definitely, you know, gained some exposure and sort of realized like, oh, you know, people actually do this and they look like me. So when she asked me again, like sophomore year, I was like, I was ready. I was like, okay, let's try this. It might be totally weird and I might, you know, like hate it, but let's try it and see.
She was ready to wear flesh-colored tights, but her next challenge was finding the perfect shade.
It was a pain. You know, a couple pairs of tights that came out and I was like, I look like an Oompa Loompa. These are orange. This is wrong.
It took her a few months to find the right color, cocoa. The payoff came that winter. Deepa was practicing her part as the lead flower in The Nutcracker. And she was wearing her cocoa-colored tights. Deepa heard someone comment over the god mic. That's the house microphone used to talk to dancers on stage.
You know, I just hear someone go over sort of the god mic, someone sort of go like, would you look at her legs? And I just remember smiling so big because I was just like, you know, like that's exactly the kind of response I wanted. Like it just sort of validated why I was doing this.
Deepa's applying to dance schools for college now. She hopes to continue to stand out in her cocoa-colored tights.
And I'm sure when I just dance, you know, just for myself, I guess, or I'm just taking class, you know, in a crowded New York studio, hopefully, you know, I'll wear my brown tights and my brown shoes just because that's so much of who I am as a dancer now.
For Radioactive, I'm Claire Martin.
So these stories, I think they really give us a sense of, you know, what we can do with our lives as we move into the world and we grow up. And, you know, as a teenager, we're faced with all these really daunting choices, but it's like, you know, they also come with a chance to grow and learn something about yourself at the same time.
I totally agree with you on that one, Daniel. That's something that I think, like, we all experience on a daily basis growing up. And, you know, Radioactive has provided us with an opportunity to do just that, really. I mean, we're a group of young adults experimenting with our options for the future, and we're recognizing we probably have some plans to make, while also just having a great time in the moment.
Thanks so much for listening to us here at Radioactive.
And a special thanks to Nathan Friend and his commitment to Weekday High / Radioactive, and to helping us grow and explore our futures over the better part of the last decade. Nathan is leaving Radioactive as he continues to explore his own options and plans for the future. We're going to miss you, Nate. Okay, wait, we can do this. We should go.
We're going to miss you, Nathan. This has been Radioactive's December podcast. Be sure to like us on Facebook at Radioactive Youth Media. And tune in next month at kuow.org/radioactive.
Thanks to our producers Claire Martin, Evan Adams, and Katie and Van Loo, as well as to our editors, Jenny Asarno and Nathan Friend. We hope you have a chance to explore your futures, reflect on your pasts, and just spend time in the moment with your family and friends this holiday season.